You want to take his face?
Yes. His face. Oh. The eyes. Nose. Skin. It's coming off.
Sophie.
Hi, I'm Paul. And we are
SP Film Viewers.
Soph.
Yeah.
Do you like John Travolta?
Yeah, no, be the name. Or Greece is the word.
Do you like Nicolas Cage?
Nicolas
Cage's.
I think so.
Films we've seen him in include Pig.
Right.
And Renfield. Were you kind of just watching in the background when I was watching it? He's a vampire.
Oh. Okay. I think I know who he is.
Right.
I prefer John Travolta.
Well, this film we're going to be covering has both those actors in.
Okay.
And it's something I wanted to watch for the longest time, and no, why I've never really got round to it. It's like an older film, where they're so
how
good.
Old?
1997,
mm-hmm.
Which, funny enough, without me realising, is the same year of Titanic came out as well. We covered last episode.
You've got a theme going there. We're doing a year, and we just don't know it.
No, not intentionally, but I think it's just looking like I didn't even realise it was the same year.
You start off March basically doing every movie that's in it. Instead of Monster March, movies from 1997. You only have two more to find.
And the film is called Face Off.
Now, like a dance off.
With faces.
I don't know, you know, like, I don't know.
So, all I really know about it is that they swap faces around, but I don't really know much more about it other than it's like an action film, but they must be like going on undercover or something to...
Like a Freaky Friday thing? Like they swap bodies? Like the person's in...
No, I think it's literally swapping faces.
Ah, so you're not like your
not
soul
like...
or something?
Yeah, it's not like Freaky Friday. No, that's all I know really, so I just want to know what it's about, how does this occur, the events take place and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, you're not really giving me much here, have you? I don't really think I've seen John Travolta in an action, really. Apart from, obviously, don't say Pulp Fiction, because that's...
Well, that's an action.
...its own kind of thing, though. It's not fully action. I think it can come under other umbrellas.
Like drama, you mean?
Or... Yeah.
But there's a level of action involved.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, I know it's not, like... Like Die Hard action.
No, yeah, exactly. It's not action. Like, literally, the only genre is action.
Uh-huh, yeah.
If that makes sense.
This is an action thriller, so...
Okay.
And this is also quite a long one. I didn't realise the runtime. 2 hours, 18 minutes.
After the Titanic, you'd have thought you'd have been nice, wouldn't
I know.
You?
I didn't know, like, the runtime, the year.
You didn't do your homework, is that what you're saying?
But, I don't know, just something, so I just want something a bit different from the norm, and like, oh, yeah, right, yes, I wanted to see this for a long time, let's do it. So, the synopsis reads, Sean Archer, an FBI agent, undergoes plastic surgery in order to impersonate and get hold of his son's killer and his arch-enemy, Castor Troy. Trouble brews when Castor begins impersonating Sean.
Castor? Like Castor Sugar?
I guess so.
That's a name.
Castor, T-O-R, not E-R, but yeah, apparently it's a name. Maybe Troy Castor, make more sense.
This is going to go terribly wrong, isn't it?
Terribly wrong.
I'm so very British.
Yeah.
This is a bit, I don't know how much gore it's going to be with.
I don't.
Me that
I've got a feeling it
plastic surgery and faces.
It won't
off.
Linger on that too much. I don't think. Who's to say? I don't.
Oh yeah.
I guess we'll find
you
out.
You haven't seen this either, have you?
That's exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, find out what this holds for us. So we'll be back with our thoughts on Face Off.
How is it that you know so much about Sean Archer?
I sleep with his wife.
And we are back, having watched Face Off. And what did you make of it?
Well, it literally is as it is on the tin, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Really? You know, like when you say to me, what do you want to call this Pokemon? Or when you was little, you had a bunny rabbit and it was white. What did you call it?
Snowy or something, yeah.
And I called it Snowy. This is what this title is, isn't it? Like, oh, how long did it take for him to write? Right, we're going to take two people's faces off. Right, that's the title of the film.
Yeah.
Like, really creative, you know. Really thought about it. Took him ages, didn't it, to think of that title.
Hmm.
This is definitely a cliche of an action film for me.
Yes, very much from the get-go. Like, no holds barred against, like, what you're in for with this.
No, you're straight away going to it.
Yeah. Well, so say for almost after the very first opening scene, like the prelude to the film, like set up, and then it's like 6 years later, then it's like, yeah, action.
Yeah, stuff. But even then, you get a shooting in the space of what, like 5 minutes or something like that?
Yeah.
And it's setting the scene and the tone for the film, and this Sean is a policeman, is would you say, or a cop?
He's
or what?
CIA or something like that. Yeah.
And obviously you've got a criminal and there's this loathe between one another
sort of thing.
And literally, Caster Sugar wants to kill off Sean. I think Sean knows too much and can predict Caster a bit
too
well.
Yeah, so something like
well.
A Batman and Joker type of scenario there, kind of thing. Oh, until my arch-nemesis type of thing.
Until one dies, this is not going to stop, basically. Exactly. We're going to carry on fighting until the end.
Yeah.
Sadly, John Travolta's character is on a carousel.
Yep.
And he's got his son, and basically one of Caster's, like, hinchman, or whatever you want to call it. I don't think it's him that shoots him, is it?
It is.
Is it?
Yeah, he's got the mustache.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think it's because he didn't have the
mustache the rest of the film. Yeah. He was six years later, so.
True.
Yeah, he just changed his appearance.
He shoots Sean, but at the same time, the way that he's held, holding the child.
He goes through and hits.
Sadly, the child doesn't survive and the dad does. And then it's,
quite like, whoa, hits you hard from the get-go.
My gripe with this was, there was other people on that carousel and then...
Well, they weren't reacting, you mean?
Yeah. They were like, oh my God. And like, you know, if a child had been shot or somebody had just been shot, wouldn't you be like checking if they're okay? Not letting him just crawl to his son. I know they're trying to do it for cinema.
Cinematic thing, because it's kind of in that sort of like hazy... It had like a hazy white glow around it, and it was all like slow-mo kind of thing, wasn't it? Or some kind of effect to it. But
Yeah. We did have this thing that happened throughout the film, which we just need to talk about now. It's like ripping a Band-Aid off.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just speak about it. Or shall I do it to you instead, Paul?
Well, it's no good for the... No good for the listening audience.
Well, there was, because that reaction was quite funny. Basically... They have this weird thing where John Travolta's character decides to, everyone that he loves, caress their face. But, like, literally, the full hand is in front of your face,
and
touching you.
Down, you know, like...
And even touching your lips with his fingertips. I'm like, can you not? And it's just cringe. And he did it to his son initially, like a... and straight in his face. And I'm like, what the hell? This is weird. And then... It comes apparent as to why it's key, but I feel like they could have thought of something else instead of this.
I don't know, rubbing the chin or something, or I don't know, like a...
Because we...
Or touching nose, go boop. I don't know if that's a bit too silly, though. Maybe.
Maybe, but the full face, hand
palm to face.
It's just unhygienic. Like, like, why are you touching my face like that? I just...
Yeah, wash your hands before you do it. But honestly, you could have made a drinking game out of how many times that occurred, because I thought, oh, yeah, this is going to be odd. But yeah, it seemed like every other scene where there was some kind of like, oh, he's with his wife or his daughter or something like that, I felt like, or certain things like that.
It was
as the film progressed, it was like everything was just like using this hand to face gesture. It's like, take a shot every time that happens.
It was like quickly. Essential to the film, and it was just a bit like, this is getting over the top. Why is this even relevant? And it's a bit weird and cringy. It makes sense because obviously when the faces come off, it's a sign of, oh,
that's an action that
he would do. And obviously Caster is not going to know that being Sean, that is a representation of him.
Mm-hmm. It's just characteristic.
That, yeah, it's just something he's not going to be aware of. So obviously the way that he's interacting with other people, where he's not touching your face like that, which actually I'd be like, oh, I'm relieved he's actually realised that's not a normal way to touch a human.
Yeah.
I guess rather that could be a trigger
sign. Brush my hair away rather than touch my face. But sorry, yeah, jumping back to that, so that opening to the 6 years later, and there's all that action stuff going on, and it's just like, there's OTT.
Massive shootout.
Yeah, to the nth degree, and it's like, it's so crazy. But the director, John Woo, is like a Hong Kong filmmaker, so he's quite known for these kind of like boisterous kind of like action films that have a lot of
literally
going on with them.
There was like so much action. Sometimes I feel like the acting was weakened by the action a little bit. Like, the action was so good, but the lines, the way that they were delivered, were a bit poorer than I anticipated. I think at just one point John Travolta was going, no! But you really didn't feel it. Like, it, and I'm like, which was a shame, because everything he's in normally I absolutely adore. Like, Saturday Night Fever, Pulp Fiction, even Grease, like, as cheesy as it is, it is good. I know he's been in other things, but I can't think of the top of my head. But he's normally a strong performer, but I've never really seen him in a, apart from Pulp Fiction, if you're classing that as an action, not like an action literally from the get-go like this. Yeah. I've not really seen him.
Whereas Nicolas Cage has been in a lot of... I think he's sort of in his prime, I'd say, from the roles that he's done. Like, that came out the same year, apparently. Con Air, which, again, is another action-based film. And I think he was, in his prime at this point, really, within Hollywood, and getting a lot of these kind of roles.
Yeah.
So I know you haven't seen a lot of Nicolas Cage films, but he's very much being Nicolas Cage in this film, with his wide eye expressions and just his weird mannerisms that he does.
I thought he was doing really well.
He's acting like a crazy person. Yeah. But he normally he's known like in the film community that he's almost sort of a joke in a way, but in like an appreciative way, not like a that's ridiculous.
You're like an Adam Sandler,
he's only really done one film, but like Tommy Wiseau from The Room, and just like he's just really but people really enjoy what he brings in this for that kind of level of.
Well, to be fair, he plays the psychotic criminal very well, and I think sometimes his performances are stronger. It's quite weird because John Travolta does well in both parts, but he really ramps up when he's playing Caster, even though he's in Sean's body.
Which, in a way, it feels like he's the stronger actor because that's definitely more obvious that he's working with the mannerisms that Caster would have because of this weird kookiness, the way he delivered, like the way he'd say lines in a certain way. So... Yeah, whereas it's not super obvious. I was trying to like go into this going, right, how are you going to portray Sean Archer in this? But it's not as clear cut. It's not a complete difference, which is kind of hard. So it makes you think, John Travolta did the better role.
100%.
The better performance.
I think they both did well playing Caster. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's an easier role to kind of actually portray because he has got more characteristicness to him.
Yeah, like that with the thing with the tongue and
Yeah.
Like, is it kiss the
kiss my tongue? Or,
And I could eat a peach for hours or something. Yeah.
So he had more iconic lines and the way that he spoke and such.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do think even John Travolta, when he was acting as himself, as Sean, I think he still did a good performance in that retrospect, where I think when we had Caster being in as Sean, I don't think it was as strong. He looks more weak and a bit basically and frail. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't really what I classed Sean as. I felt like he wasn't like that. But maybe it's because of the environment he was in, because he was in prison.
Yeah, it wasn't uncomfortable. And I don't know how much, like, Caster would not know truly how Sean acts around his family or whatever and stuff. Obviously, yeah. It's a bit like, oh, what's got into you type of thing. That's a little bit, you know, odd to them. But, like, say, for being in a prison full of criminals, and it's like, he does know absolutely everybody he's had interactions with.
Yeah,
and
it's
like,
a lot harder and daunting.
And it's like, you've still got to come across as like, oh, we know how crazy you are.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy have you got to be around these people for them to go not suspect anything? Because you don't know most of the time. When he's with his brother, who's called Pollock or something.
I think so, yeah.
And you kind of going through the film from weighing up, was that, is there at what point does he know that he's like, you don't seem like my brother?
Yeah, we were saying this actually, weren't we? So, like, certain things I would probably be aware of, I think, with you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, for example, silly little things like if they were putting a DVD on or a Blu-ray or a 4K, the way that they handled that. Like, I know that sounds daft, but the way that you get your cases out and the way that you take it out and you, like, or if they left it in the actual...
Yeah, just didn't put it in the case, you mean?
Or left it in the device, like,
oh, okay.
That would be a no-brainer, like, you would have to eject it and put it back in the case.
Right.
I would know straight away that wasn't you, or there was something up with you, because that's a given. You would never leave the disc in.
Well, I'd say that's not quite always true. Depends on, like, if it was something that I had to pause for whatever reason.
No, let's say we've finished with it.
Yeah, and that was done right. Put it away back on the case upstairs, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, if we'd stopped watching it...
Yeah, that's done.
You wouldn't leave it there until you put the new disc in.
Yeah, I get you.
You would not do that. It's just who you are. So there's certain things, and the way that, like, certain inside jokes we have, like... that I don't need to share, but, you know, because just in case someone wants to take Paul's face off, then I don't want everyone to meet...
the face.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be airing my dirty laundry. But there's certain things that we have where only me and you know of it.
Yeah.
And the way that I act around
you. Similarly, like, let's say one of the things that you do is, like, you don't like butter and toast. You kind of, like, stick your tongue out a little bit as you're doing it. So if I said to you, right, if I suspected him, Soph, could you, like, butter this toast for me? And you were like, yeah, and not have any qualms about it. Then be like, something suspicious here.
It's like you cutting an onion.
I'll be like, yeah, sure. I'd be able to do that.
Yeah. So, like, for example, there's a scene in this film where Caster is as Sean and he's trying to seduce his wife.
If I started touching your feet...
I would, like, know from the get-go, like, this is not my husband.
In, like, a seductive way. Like,
he's touching my feet. Paul would never touch... I'd just get you to touch my feet, even if I had, like, socks on. Never mind, like, taking my tight off or something that to touch my bare foot. That would just not happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, I don't know who Paul is or who this is. Mm-hmm. I would definitely be suspect of you.
But on the topic of that is... that's quite somewhat far into the film. And he's sort of been around his wife and his daughter at this point, so for a little while, obviously, Caster posing as Sean. And part of the thing they said at this start was that, oh, it's not just your face we're having to swap, it's your entire body, essentially, you know, like, scars included. And now Sean has made a note to say, like, oh, they've got this scar, this bullet wound, obviously from what happened at the beginning of the film. Shot through his body into his kid and everything. So I'm guessing we don't see it, obviously, because when it comes to Caster Troy getting his Sean's face on him and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. I'm presuming at the same time he's also had to gone through the whole, right, I've got to have absolutely everything
your whole body
on it. So unless, yeah, I'm guessing, thinking about it now, it must have been the case, because otherwise they would have glossed over the fact, like, his wife would go, where's your scar?
Unless it was dark, so she wasn't feeling but, for it.
Well, because you're assuming, obviously, something happened there yeah. at some point in between all that.
It's implied, isn't yeah, it, yeah. that happens?
Yeah.
Unless it's dark yeah. or she didn't see it. Or because to be fair, like, sometimes I forget you have a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
It's well, just part yeah. of your body. So. But I don't see it all the time. I don't know if that sounds weird.
Yeah, so someone would also have to have my tattoo as it was.
Yeah.
Maybe even, like, if it was, like, that's the wrong way round or something like that. Or it's on the other arm or something.
Or, like, your freckles. Like, I know that sounds... Yeah. Or your moles. Like,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, certain ones that you, like, know.
Say your faces from, yeah. and stuff.
Things like that. So, yeah. So, yeah, yeah. You could go on and on and on yeah. about things like that.
All you've got for me is butter and toast. I've get named three things now.
But, no, again, similar things like the way... The certain things that you say or do or... I don't know, I'd play, say, like, oh, so should we play some Bowie? And you'd be like, yeah, and dancing around, singing along or something, and yeah, I'd be like, yeah.
Well, I do sing along now and again, and then I'm like, oh, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You just something need that like response, that. Yeah. yeah. So obviously, with this, we kind of see Sean as he is initially. So basically, he's quite humble. He doesn't want to be applauded when he does something mm-hmm. good, mm-hmm. like with his work.
Co-workers, yeah.
You see that he's not really there, he's not present in his home life, he's really struggling. Mm. Like, if the mum tells the daughter off, then he just backs the mum up. It's like, not really trying to be there on either side. He's yeah. just a bit of a shell in a man's body.
Yeah.
All his number one focus is getting Castor.
Yeah.
And then you've got this complete contrast when Castor becomes Sean, where it's like, oh... I'm lapping the world up. Yay, everyone praise me. I'm amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then how he's been so seductive with his wife and even also, his daughter.
Which is a bit like, yeah. Oh, but
I was like, where is this going? Yeah,
please don't let this go. And he, like, I knew, I didn't think it was going to go like anything weird, but like in the back of my mind a little bit of thinking, oh God, please don't let this get too,
yeah. Yeah. too much where yeah. it's a bit.
Yeah.
I think he does grab, her bottom? Or lick her face. He licks her face back no, later on.
That's at the, almost like the very back end of
but
the
then,
film.
Like, but then, like, he's letting her smoke. He's encouraging her to smoke.
Yeah, he's doing that kind of, like, oh, like, leaning in to get the smoke and stuff. And it's like, I think he looks at her. He does look at her ass. And then he's like, says yeah. some comment. Like, the plot thickens or something like that. I don't know. But it just, well, earlier on in the film, he does grab some, like, when he's pretending to be, like, a priest or something.
Mm.
And he grabs... some young girl's ass and he's like, yeah. oh, that's me, just one of those exaggerated faces and stuff like, which I think somehow I sort of know, maybe that's again from GIFs or something, mm. but I've seen that image floating yeah. around the internet, but that's all I really know of the film prior to watching this, of course.
Watching this, what are your thoughts? Like, are you thinking, oh, this is the best film ever that I've seen, or did it meet your expectations?
I think it's exactly what I expected, really.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
Yeah, like you say, what it says on the tin for the film has sort of a bit more depth than I anticipated in a way. I think the runtime, though, I feel like wasn't... You could have shaved yeah. easily 15 minutes off,
mm-hmm.
really. Maybe even, I don't know, knock it down to 1 hour 45, really. I don't think it needed to go on as long as it did.
No.
Really, because...
Some of the action scenes took a long time. Like, they were great and there was a lot of money thrown into it, but some of them were like, I don't know, you know me, with action, even like with Monster March when we watch it, and it's just, I get a bit bored. It's like, okay, yeah, this is great. Look, oh, another explosion.
Gunfires and all that yeah. kind of stuff. I get what you mean.
Don't know, I feel like sometimes they just have to try and do the suspense of it all, but it's not really
yeah.
capturing me.
I feel sometimes in I feel like films like this, not really throwing shade, but they use over the top action as a crutch because, like, well, the dialogue isn't that great and nobody really cares about what yeah. they've got to say. So let's just throw just as much crazy shit in it as yeah. as we can, And that'll just amaze people, blindside them a little bit, like, wow, this is the greatest film ever. Like, I think as a from a younger age, if I saw this one as a lot younger, this would probably be not my favourite film, but like, oh, this is super amazing. Like, growing up with it, something would have been like, oh, this is epic. But I'd still say Die Hard's a pretty decent film. I've seen that before when I was a bit younger,
yeah,
and sort of like appreciated it for what it is.
I remember Die Hard scaring me when I was younger watching it.
Oh,
Snape's character.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah,
his presence, yeah. But I feel like watching this as an adult, it just doesn't seem to hold up, and I feel like at least Die Hard does. Like,
I don't know if it came come to us too late a little bit, but
mm.
I'm thinking similar. I don't know. You can cast your mind back to what if we remember watching Speed with Keanu Reeves in Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
If that's it's in a similar vein, isn't it? Like
but I think you've top, got a, I don't know.
There's a bit more cleverness to it in a
yeah,
way.
Yeah, and I think you've got a bit more of a storyline and there's
more sort of tension. But
yeah.
Not to say this doesn't have that, but
you kind of just think that Paul Sean is just gonna go stir crazy and cast his body and like kill himself. Basically, that's what you feel.
Because throughout, or certainly back in thinking, getting to like, are they ever going to get their faces back?
Yeah. Or is it that the wife's going to figure out and just have to live with the fact that it looks like a criminal?
Yeah. That would be kind of funny.
Like, that's all I could think of.
Well, he's stuck with this now. It's like.
Yeah. But she seems to arrange it quite quickly once she knows her husband is in a criminal's body, that she's able to ring up and get the best plastic surgeons to sort it out.
Yeah, because the one who was, what's it called? Malcolm Walsh, who does the physical alteration stuff, and he obviously grafted ears for these other people and stuff with this early, like, 3D printing, basically, to do this amazing technology to do that. And he got killed off after Castor wakes up, found his, you know, he got his face missing, and so
that was I was thinking of how much they're gonna actually show with this, so I'm glad they didn't show
they're cleverly like these flashes of like this like muscular tissue exposed and stuff, and like it's glad it's not like a thing, because it I mean that would have been practical effects, not like CGI, like you think like Two-Face from Dark Knight, where that all just been superimposed because of the way mouth moved and all that
When it comes to his wife finding out, she is a nurse, or she works in a hospital, she's a surgeon or something like that, isn't she? So we kind of... It takes Sean coming back as Castor to explain to her that the man that you're with is not me. He's imposing as me with my face and my body. However, it's his brain. It's a bit of a weird one because... Has she had sex with another man? Because technically, it's everything else belongs to Sean, if you think about it.
Sorry, what do you mean? Because they have sort of body swapped.
Yeah.
So...
so technically, it's the same ding-a-ling. Just different person moving the ding-a-ling.
So you're thinking if they're in the same actions, like, oh, this is different from what I'd normally get.
I don't know. Would you think that, or would it be that it's, or would you think, oh, it's just because I haven't had it in a while, so it's
forgotten.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But also,
I didn't really think that too much about that. To be fair,
technically, it is still Sean's body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In theory.
So is it wrong? I don't know.
What you mean? Has she cheated on?
I don't think she has, because she didn't know. So it's not. I don't blame her.
I didn't really think of it that way. I think it was, I was just more at the time thinking, have you not figured it out yet? Really, but.
Takes her a while.
Yeah, as I say.
So does the daughter.
Mm.
But obviously, Sean comes as Castor saying, and obviously does the face stroking, and then that's like the key. He touched my face that way. I haven't done that in like weeks. Yeah. So then she realises.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's also a point when he kind of forgets about the fact that he's was it Michael's like birthday, you know, the boy who died at the start of the film, and so and visit the grave and everything. It's like he doesn't even like pretend to like show remorse
or cry or anything
for the situation. His wife's there, like bawling her eyes out and all that kind of stuff, and he's like
I don't know how, as a criminal, like, even as a bad person, you still have a heart, I would say.
Yeah, because that's what I say about the remorse part, and whether, you know, he would, like, realise, oh, what have I done type of thing, and that would, that'd be a bit more of a clever way to show that, as Castor, he's, like, realising, oh, God, what the impact I've had.
Mm-hmm.
But to his wife, it would seem that, oh, he's feeling emotion because it's a sad situation.
Yeah.
That could have
like, oh, it's
worked.
Brought it back up again.
Yeah, yeah.
But that doesn't happen.
No, no.
He just kind of pats her on the shoulder and there's her and then walks off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she must know from that day kind of a little bit as well. She's suspecting him a little bit.
Mm. Yeah.
But what is good is Sean as Castor, none of them suspect him. Like, even though he's not been as over the top, or, you know, he's kind of trying to be a bit more mellow and everything, his cronies don't kind of think, oh, apart from his brother, obviously knew.
Mm-hmm.
None of the rest of them do, and it shows that how many people did he actually let into his life, because later on, we get to a bit of a shoot-off at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of his cronies is pointing at Sean, even though Sean is Castor, does that make sense? So, you know, at the end where we've got that shoot-off?
Yeah, everyone's got, like, the guns pointed out.
Majority of Castor's cronies are shooting at Sean, but obviously it's Castor.
Yeah.
But that shows, doesn't it, how close he actually was with any of them, because they didn't realise the change in him.
Mm-hmm.
They just followed blindly, like, that's Castor.
Yeah. Even from, obviously, earlier when they've got just in that, like, hideout or whatever and all that kind of stuff, that they kind of just, no one's really clocking on, really. There's certain things that you're thinking, oh, he's slipped up here, whatever, but then kind of glossed over or whatever, but just laugh it off kind of thing.
So I think that part kind of shows who's luckier, because at least Sean has his family and they do know. It takes them a while, but they get there.
I think that's around the point when this is the title of the film. It's, I want to take his face off.
He does deliver that line really well, to be fair. Yeah. He does.
Yeah. That's brought up when we're talking with the daughter about, like, he mentions about, you know, hiding behind someone else's face since Mike died.
Mm.
So that's why her personality is so, like, rebellious and kind of out against.
Don't think she's grieved, basically.
Yeah, yeah. She's just,
she don't feel like she's enough now because her parents are devastated because they've lost their youngest son. Mm. Like, and now she's the eldest daughter, and I think they just have that disconnect and not that time for her.
Yeah, so it's not just about a literal face off. It's like, you know, like the sort of like mask of personality, persona of that shifted and changed.
Jamie does seem to have quite a bit of a hard run, bless her. She's got this controlling, weird boyfriend. She's got, obviously, Sean as a dad, which is Castor. He does kind of try and be a bit of a father figure to her, like somewhat constructive, even though he's letting her smoke. And
yeah, there's one of those parts in that sequence to defend herself, she's kind of like, oh, I've got some protection. And she thinks, oh, you mean like condoms?
Mm.
Thinking, oh, God, please don't get this weird again. But no, thankfully, he's just like, here's this switchblade pocket knife.
Mm-hmm.
Use this as, like, you know, if he tries anything again, use this stabbing in the leg and twist it around so the wound won't close.
Yeah.
Which comes to light later on in the film when he's got her as a hostage, essentially. Does that weird tongue lick fit on the face thing, and it's like, yeah, okay, that's not my dad.
Yeah.
And and then she's like, oh, I got the knife, and injures him and does what he told her to do, so that's okay, bringing that back around.
Yeah,
when you thought about that in your script to put that together, these kind of things. And I guess the twitchy face thing is
what a drinking game. You'd be absolutely bladdered by the time that you're done.
But yeah, that is.
There's a lot of things exploding, planes. You get John Travolta in a helicopter earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
You get a speedboat race and a crashing and explosions. And then, there's just a lot of, I don't know, just a lot of action, no great dialogue.
Yeah, they try. I'll give them that, but I just going through it now and thinking, like, nothing's, I'm not going like, oh, there's a quote I'll remember type of.
No. The only thing I think I'm going to take away from this is that weird face touch.
So, it was like,
yeah. Yeah, which
years to come will be jokingly doing that to one another.
But that's about it. Like, it's the only thing I've got from it.
Yeah. The cinematography of certain shots, like, there's a part where I think it's more maybe the third act or so, where there's a mirrored standoff, I'd say, oh, we'll have to kill each other now or whatever. And so they're pointing the guns at themselves in this, I say, two-way mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, look, I'm going to shoot the person I hate kind of thing.
Well, technically they are shooting themselves, if you think about it, because they're in each other's bodies. So
that's clever, as a metaphor of the situation.
Also, we have when Caster is Sean, he's got this lady who he kind of inspects a while ago. Are you close to Caster and everything? Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, well, I'll take your son and put him into custody if you don't tell us anything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he's kind of seen how she is with her son as being Sean in Caster's body.
Mm-hmm.
And how much she loves her son, and actually it's Caster's, and
it's your baby. Yeah.
All of this.
Yeah.
That when it comes to the final shootout, there was the boy listening to Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Yeah, that was it was an earlier shot where that's got all the shootout in that pad and everything like that. So I put the earphones on and it's all this is like, is it non-diegetic sound? I think that's the term used when, well, it's technically it is playing for the boy in his earphones,
mm-hmm.
but for us as the audience, it's just background noise. That's a sharp contrast to what's going on in the scene. Yeah.
Yeah. Which works quite well. And you obviously then rooting for the little boy to be surviving and being okay, which kind of comes back round at the end, when obviously Sean is now himself going back to his family. And sadly, the little boy's Caster and his mum's now both been killed in the action pack that we've seen. And he does look literally like Mikey, which is a bit...
Yeah, I don't know if that was on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe. I feel like it's a bit wrong, though. It's like, oh, my dog's died, so I'm going to get an exact same pedigree dog. It's like, it's still not the same dog. We do know this, don't we? Because it's going to have different characterisms.
But I think when it's revealed, obviously, you have a son, Caster, even though it's Sean in the body at that point, he's kind of he's hugging as if he didn't it is his own son. I think it looks very much like him. And even Michael, and it's she's like, what?
Adam or something, isn't it?
Yeah, something what are you talking about? Kind of things that's going to slip up there because your emotions are too high on that. But I can get it because, if it's a traumatic experience that you had and you lost your child, so therefore it's going to have an impact on some, to hold on to. So. There was that. So, they do adopt Adam in the end, and it's like, he didn't run this by wife. And just says, oh, you got a new...
Well,
go
did
he room.
Even actually legally adopt him, or did he just go, oh, he's no longer got a mum, right, I'll just take him. I don't know how quickly it all works, because I wanted to get him plastic surgery to get his face back on. Mm-hmm. When did he have time to adopt somebody as well?
On the side, yeah.
Anything else before we go to scores? Have you missed anything vital?
I think, I don't know if this is like a John Woo trait or anything, but I feel like the fact that was when they're having that shot, that shootout after the funeral of the boss that was, when he revealed to him, oh, I'm Caster Troy, his thing, and his eyes a heart attack, dies.
Yeah.
And then there's funeral, and that's all, goes to that, and then clears out. And then they have that shootout where they're all there, the guns. And doing that bit Good, the Bad, the Ugly, where they're doing the eye, close up of the eyes.
I feel like everyone's going to have a shot every time you say Good, Bad and the Ugly.
Mm.
Did it in Titanic as well. And it's like, how many times do you have to shoehorn this film in?
And there's some sort of religious symbolism there or something like that. Or maybe a contrast with that again. It's there's all this violence in it somewhere that's not supposed to be holy.
Yeah.
And there's all those doves that are kind of just flying around for no reason.
It reminded me of Kill Bill more for me. Like when they're in the church getting married and that shootout.
Uh-huh.
It kind of, that's where that
again,
brought.
Sanctimonious type of situation. But taking shots at it against that. And I think there was also the trope of that there was sort of slow motion, but wasn't slow motion. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But almost I'm going to slow the film down here a little bit for just as a character turns, realizing. And it's, I don't know, it's, maybe it's just an effect of the time for these action movies, like just to add dramatic effect, the pause, as it were, to emphasize something, or like a character was realizing something, or I don't know, but it was like, yeah, I feel of its time, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed,
picked up on
that. No, I did see that. It just feels.
Also, sort of like a haziness to it as well, again, like sort of glow of sorts, really. Yeah, I'd have to go.
Yeah, you do. It's on your face, you're like, oh.
It's interesting because I wouldn't say it was like, that was terrible. Because I say, like, I knew what I was getting in for. But at the same time, it was like, I wouldn't rush back to it anytime soon.
Yeah.
I feel like it soured a little bit because of the fact that it's like seeing it quite late, and I feel like something I should have seen. It felt like it's something that a film I would have seen a long time ago, and then introducing you to see what your thoughts on it, really, that kind of. Rather than, you know, something that we've
both seen together.
In. But anyway, so I think I'll put it at, I'm going to put it at 7.5. I think that's a fair comment on the fact that I'm not quite like you, where it's like, oh, action, like, I'm totally like, whatever. But I can appreciate, now and again, I can appreciate action films for what they are, and just to just take it just like, yeah, just that's. The top. It was over the top, yeah, in some regards, but a sort of level of enjoyment for, like, yeah, and the performances of both our leads were, like, pretty good, and appreciate it, so. What would you rate it?
I wasn't captivated like I was in Titanic, where I was quiet for near enough 2 hours, and this film's 2 hours whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So for a good 2 hours of the Titanic, I was immersed in what it was offering. This, first of all, I'm biased because I don't like action films. I don't know if it's because I grew up with them and I just think they're very boring. I think all I grew up was action films or rom-coms. It was like either one. Mm. And neither one have really great storylines. If I'm completely honest. But I do think I prefer a rom-com over an action pack any day.
Well, I know you do, yeah.
Yeah, I do. Well, you can tell, because if you compare Titanic versus this, I would say I'd prefer the Titanic personally, which if you go check out that episode, you'll be surprised I'm saying that now. I wasn't in love with any of the characters. I didn't really feel attached. I didn't feel like oh yeah, Sean's an amazing character, you know, like he deserves the best. It was just like, oh, you're a bit annoying actually. Yeah, okay, your son's died, but you're still whining like a little bitch basically the entire time. He's just got this fixation on having to get his revenge and can't be grateful and happy with what he does have.
Yeah.
The acting, John Travolta, can't fault him. He's amazing in this. And so is the other one, Nicolas Cage. But would it be something like I would go recommend it to somebody and say, oh, I've watched Face Off, you should watch it.
If you like action films, then I'd say it's a strong contender if you haven't seen it.
What I mean is, it won't be in my archives to say, have you seen this? I feel like this is going to be something that gets filtered in my trash can quite quickly.
Uh-huh.
And I'll forget about it. And you'll go, when we go to the end of the year review, and you go, oh, Sophie, watched Face Off. What's that again? And I'm pretty sure that's what this will become.
Really, even with the title so obvious.
Yeah, I'll forget about it. And I think that's how I feel.
Yeah.
So, because it's so forgettable, I'm going to give it a 5.
I see. Okay. Middle of the road. Yeah.
You've got two good leads and they do a good performance. Just think it's a bit yawn with the action and it's just over the top. If you like action films and you want a lot of action in it then and not a lot of dialogue, then this film's for you, I guess.
Well, another interesting episode, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I said, like, there's definitely some, if nothing else, comical moments we can take away from the film.
If you wanted a drinking game, you could put this on and do it as well. Yeah. So I guess some winners there, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It won't say it was boring. It was intriguing, but it was still a bit predictable.
Not so predictable as I say, like, did they get the faces back in the end?
Yeah, true.
So, or at least sure.
But they did, so.
One of them did. Yeah, I don't know if I mean, obviously Hollywood loves to remake films. I'm surprised this hasn't been remade already, or is down the line will be. I've got a feeling at some point this probably would be remade.
I don't think we need that. If I'm completely honest.
Well, we don't need a lot of things that get remakes or sequels, but there we are.
How can they when he's dead?
No, I don't mean a sequel. I meant
redo.
Mean Girls.
Oh, I don't understand that. Don't even get me started.
Yeah,
I feel like that's something we need to review because I just don't get it. Why touch something when it wasn't broken in the first place?
Again, what we say about a lot of films there. Well, thank you very much for listening to this episode. And if you'd like to listen to some of our other episodes, you can do so by going to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and wherever else you get your podcasts from. And would also appreciate it if you left us a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, and wherever else you do the scoring system.
And if you want to follow us on social media, then please do. We are on Threads, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. So you can find us under the handle SP_filmviewers. So hit that like and subscribe button.
We'd also like to point you in the direction of joining us as a Patreon.
It's the most amazing thing ever.
Because you get your name read out every single episode, as we're going to do in a moment. And have the opportunity to vote for a movie we watch once a month. So you can do that by going to patreon.com/SPfilmviewers. And we'd like to shout out the good people who are already joined the family.
Yep. So we've got my wonderful mum. We've got Alex and Shani on Instagram. So we've got Alex under the handle Desperately Seeking Username and Shani under the handle SDOG.
We've also got our friends Jonesy, Emma and Gren on Instagram. And they are at Weight Loss Jonesy, at Emma Hayton and at cgren_draw.
And then we've got our wonderful podcast family. So we've got Mark from 100 Things We Learned from Film. We've got Ben from Film Vloggers. And we've got Nico from The Good, The Bad and The Weird podcast. I always have to emphasise the weird.
Weird. Yeah, so thank you to those people. And we obviously love any new family members, as it were.
Yeah. And I was really interested when people vote, so I think that's the best perk of this one, because I don't get a choice of what I watch, and you guys do.
Well, I still get a choice, but because I obviously pick what we watch, but I like what's going to be.
Oh, it's a surprise!
Yeah.
But I seriously don't get any choice in this whatsoever, people. I'm held hostage.
Well, thank you very much for listening once again, and we will speak to you next time.
Speak to you next time.
Bye now.
Bye.
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 Bye.